Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ of the World broadcast. My radio family, I bless you in the name of the Lord, and I pray that the Lord is with you in a measure that you are experiencing in a practical and very real way. I do have a message the Lord's placed on my heart, but before I do that, I just want to share some thoughts. I want to share a scripture found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 25, verse 12. And this particular verse asks a question. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Now, beloved, I don't know how your day has been or what situations you may be facing in your life right now, but haven't you experienced that the enemy of our souls knows our weakest areas? And it seems that that's what he focuses on. Why? Because, of course, that's where he can be most effective. And so he will bring constant, recurring, and disturbing thoughts that come into our minds, they appear, they stay around, and they persist habitually if we do not resist him through the Word of God. Regardless of the individual strength of our willpower, our determination, the enemy is not impressed with us. He's not scared of us. The only thing he fears is Jesus and the Word of God. He knows that he is a defeated foe. And so we have to come against him in the authority that God has given us, which is in the Word of God. As I've shared repeatedly over the years, Jesus is our example. And so when the Holy Spirit drove him or led him into the wilderness after his baptism, and he was filled with the Spirit, he encountered the devil. He was tested 40 days and 40 nights. And how did he receive victory over those temptations? It was through the Word of God. He quoted, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." And so we have to follow that same pattern. Scripture promises that if we are submitted to God, the devil will flee from before us. Resist the devil, and he will flee from before you. And so as we meditate on this passage of Scripture found in Psalm 25, "What man is he that feareth the Lord?" the psalmist is saying that we should not just be thinking about God, but that the abiding consciousness of our life needs to be focused on the very presence of God. After all, if we are born again children of God, the Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit. He is with us continually. When a child is in danger, even though the child may not be thinking about its mother, the immediate abiding relationship is that of its mother for protection and comfort and security. The Scriptures tell us that in Him, in the Lord, we live and move and have our being. So the abiding consciousness of God makes us look with new vision at everything in relation to God. That has been one of my prayers in recent months for myself, for my prayer partners, those who are part of the UCM spiritual family, is that we will have an ever-increasing awareness of God with us. Isn't that the name that was given to Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, spoken by the prophet Isaiah? He is with us. He's in us. And in this place of relationship, think about this. If that's really true, and I know you affirm the truth of Scripture. How can any anxiety, any trouble, or any worry or fear distress us? How can unbelief exist if we truly believe the Lord is round about us? Psalm 125 and 2 says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about his people. The Lord's presence is a most effective barricade against every onslaught of the enemy. And if we have this understanding, well, it's clear to see why the Lord considers worry a sin. There are so many commands throughout the Word of God which tell us to fear not. And so, beloved brother and sister, regardless of the many attacks of the enemy against you to rob you of peace and joy, the Lord promises your soul shall be at ease. And how can we be at ease if we're troubled, we're fearful, we're upset, we're constantly anxious? We're not at ease in that situation. So in sorrow, in tribulation, in anxiety, in the midst of all the world and the devil can throw at us, beloved, if your life is hidden Christ, hid in God with Christ, you will be safe and secure. The Lord will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And beloved, once you can latch onto this beautiful revelation of the abiding presence of God, no devil in hell can steal the refuge of that divine shelter. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm just going to obey him with this prophetic word of prophecy, which is meant to encourage and uplift you. My beloved child, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. I am your Father, and I am a refuge for you from the storm and from the fierce winds that would assail. Call upon me, call upon my name, and you will see that I am a very present help in the time of trouble. I will not turn a deaf ear, but I will set you on high. I shall be an impenetrable defense for you, and you shall not fear. I shall rescue you from the enemy of your soul, and you shall rest in my arms. Even now, feel the love of your Father extended to you to surround and comfort your heart. You are not alone, for I am with you, says the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your words of comfort. Praise God. Well, I do want to share, or begin to share, I don't know how far we're going to get today, a word of the Lord entitled the message I've entitled, The Barren Fig Tree. And we're going to be looking in detail at an experience that's related in Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 6 to 9, but I'd like to begin by reading those first 9 verses. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn to Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9. There were present at that season some that told him, that's Jesus, of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, he's talking about catastrophes that occurred in his day, and slew them, these were current events to them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spoke also this parable. This is what we're going to be focusing on, beloved. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shall cut it down. This is a parable that Jesus related to his immediate disciples, and of course it was recorded by Luke for all the succeeding generations of disciples who would believe on the Lord Jesus. And as we look at Scripture, I trust if you walk with the Lord any length of time, you know that the context of any particular verse or verses is very, very important. And so we want to understand the contextual meaning of this parable that Jesus gave about the barren fig tree. Obviously, it stands in very close connection with the foregoing teaching. Remember, he mentioned about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, and he talked about Jerusalem, that current event that happened, the Tower of Siloam had fell and killed people, 18 of them, and so he was asking, do you suppose they were worse sinners than everybody else? He said, no, that's not true, but unless we repent, unless he who has ears to hear will experience similar fate, we also will be destroyed. And so, beloved, it's important for us to understand what the Lord is telling us here. We stand in danger, the people of this world stand in danger of perishing unless they repent. Now, the fig tree. In Scripture, we have an understanding that the fig tree symbolizes the nation of Israel. Here it symbolizes the fruitless profession of godliness of the nation of Israel. He was talking to his time. Specifically, the owner of the vineyard is Jehovah God, the Lord of hosts. The vineyard is the house of Israel. Isaiah 5 and 7 says, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, very plain, and the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. This parable of the barren fig tree illustrates the point of verses 1 through 5, that judgment will come on those who do not repent. A fig tree requires 3 years to bear figs. Since this tree didn't produce, the owner said, cut it down. And here, Jesus took the thought one step further and noted that fruit must be present. Well, my time is gone and I must bring this broadcast to a close. We'll pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you can join me. The announcer will give our contact information. Thank you so much for listening, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.